Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to At The Movies with me, Umar Fagan, Ampike Fagan. Special effects, all of that visual stuff that makes us go ooh and ah, that helps poke our collective imaginations in the right direction. All of that is put together by teams of dozens of artists and painters and technicians. Just stay through the closing credits of any movie, big or small, and take a look at the sheer number of people involved in making movie magic happen. Joining me today to talk about their craft, to talk about the role they play in the storytelling of cinema, are two visual effects guys, Hussein Khan and Hashraf Dalal. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You sure did.
Okay, thanks. Fantastic. The first thing people think about when they think visual effects or special effects is the big booms, is the Avatars and the Captain America Civil Wars and all of that stuff. But of course, it's in every movie from a rom-com all the way to a Schindler's List to, well, the big blockbusters. Give me some examples of these smaller moments where visual effects make all the difference.
I mean, you've mentioned a lot of big movies or actual feature films, but we're forgetting television. Television is a very interesting medium because now that's becoming on par with feature film. And if you look at television, a lot of the visual effects in there are invisible. And those are kind of the effects that I find very interesting, is the effects that are invisible. There's a movie called Ex Machina, for example, right? Now, the obvious effects in there is the main robot, but there's a lot of effects in there that you don't realize, things like wire removals or things like paint outs or things like tracking markers or camera rigs. And you know, those all play a big part in a movie. Things like set extensions. Now, usually we're so used to seeing things like set extensions, things like Lord of the Rings, right? When we say set extension, we think, oh, big mountain vistas. But set extensions could be anything. Set extensions could be simple things of taking a room and making a room feel bigger, or just extending, you know, a tower, or little things that help drive the story. And a lot of people tend to also forget that these little nuances that we see in visual effects, they're not there for essentially visuals. They're actually there to serve the story. And that's a very important component that people forget.
I think people do forget that. The storyline in a lot of these films would be completely underserved if it wasn't for the visual effects.
Yeah, I mean, Downton Abbey is a classic one, right? Everyone knows Downton Abbey, right? I mean, I'm not like a huge fan, but I know of Downton Abbey. And, last year I worked on a show called Poldark, which is for the BBC. And Poldark's interesting because I love robots, I love sci-fi, and a lot of my visual effects work's always been, you know, quite heavy visual effects. But in Poldark, it's interesting because it's a period drama. So all of the visual effects was things to make sure it stayed period, which means if we're shooting in the fields, in the background, you are going to see a tower somewhere. You're going to see an aeroplane go by. You're going to see contrails in the sky. You've got to remove all of that. So those are the sort of visual effects work, and there's a lot of that in period dramas. If you look at Downton Abbey, same thing. They'll try and find a location as close as they can. The costumes, the period costumes are perfect, but the whole environment isn't. So those are the sort of things that help make the environment in the story more believable, and that's period drama. I might even talk about rom-coms yet. I haven't even started. I mean, sci-fi is a classic one, and fantasy, but there are loads of things, even documentaries. A lot of documentaries, you know, things like, you know, removing signs or product placement that they're not allowed to have. Those are visual effects. And those are the exact same techniques used on the big movies are used to do those smaller jobs.
Hussein, you've worked on a whole bunch of big movies yourself. Explain to people, I suppose, the process. Just say it's a big Hollywood production, right? At which stage does the VFX team come in?
Well, I've worked with a team of people. It's just not me. I worked with Rhythm and Hughes and the education department. My role was to educate. And the team that we had in Rhythm and Hughes was awesome. We had about 100 old people that were working in a lot of good Hollywood movies. So the process of visual effects really comes at the last end, where you have pre-production, and then we have production where the shoot is happening. And then the last bit is where everything done is in post. So for visual effects movie, the big portion of it will be in post, where you have the CGI will be created. So all the 3D stuff, and then we have the 2D part where we just mentioned, we have to remove a lot of stuff. sky replacement is a typical stuff that people do not know of, you know. They thought that, or they think that the sky is always like that. No, it's always been replaced. A simple thing as screenless replacement on sets, on TV sets, on monitors, they always replace that. It's all done in post-production. So there are a lot of parts that people don't realize, what we call is, I think he mentioned as well, invisible effects. All that takes time because sometimes you have to do frame by frame, and just imagine a movie that goes for 90 minutes, right? So some of them have to remove frame by frame, and these guys work very hard for it, but they don't get the... They are considered the unsung heroes for it.
For sure. In many ways, I'm glad that these Marvel movies these days force you to sit through the credits.
Yeah.
Because they'll have a sting at the end of the film. Yeah. And, that's good, yeah. And people actually then pay attention. They realize how much work goes into it. I, too, am a victim of not necessarily sitting through the credits. I never used to do that before I became a movie critic. Now I actually make a point to sit through the credits of these films. But is it a new thing to have as many visual effects companies as they do in films? Because right now, it's, you know, they'll say Industrial Light and Magic has done these effects. And then there are about 20 different companies from all over the world working on things like that. Is that a new thing?
No, it's not a new thing as per se. But the reason why it may sound like it's new, if you've looked back at say the 1990s, right, and you look at a movie like Jurassic Park, you know, the main effects people were ILM and Digital Domain. Okay, those are the two, and you know, maybe Rhythm and Hughes might have done some stuff, but those big companies were the main vendors. We call them vendors because that's essentially what they were back then, and which meant that the film producers would only go to these studios like ILM because of their reputation, but also because of the technology. All of the technology that was used in visual effects back then, especially in Jurassic Park, were proprietary, which means that it's developed by them. You can only get it in one place. Flash forward now today. We have all the tool sets that are available off the shelf. There are a lot of visual effects companies out there that can do the work. And also the work, the visual effects work itself now, it's huge. You know, if we look at a movie like Civil War, which I'm going to watch later, hopefully, which only recently came out, you know, the whole movie is visual effects heavy, okay? Even movies like Avatar are massive, right? All of those visual effects films, you can't really assign a company a film to do now. You have to assign them sequences, scenes, portions of the movie. So like, you know, you may have a car park or a car park sequence or a motorway chase sequence.
And is that purely for economic reasons?
That's logistic, economic, but also most importantly, scheduled. See, you know, these movies are being churned around pretty fast, right? You know, the minute they start shooting, you're in visual effects. And like Hussein said already, like, you know, most of the time visual effects is at the end of the pipeline. But today, right now, you know, like films like the Marvel movies, no, while they're in script stage, while they're in development stage, the visual effects is still being looked at. We're still developing the look of things. And you need to get involved as many people as possible. And that's why you have so many people working on these projects, why you have so many companies working on these projects.
I remember watching this video after the first Avengers movies came out. And there was a video from ILM where they're in this weird wireframe room. And they're all standing around. And there is this guy with a camera and a screen. And as he pans across the room... Yeah. That battle sequence of New York is being rendered in real time.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's virtual cinematography. That's a recent thing. But that is a tool for the director. That's changed the way filmmaking works. You know, one visual effects supervisor that really pioneered that was a guy called Rob Legato. So Rob Legato, for those who don't know, he's the visual effects supervisor on movies like Titanic. Okay? And he's got a new film coming out, which I can't remember, but... He's the guy that really pushed that whole thing. And that's really, back in the day, you know, when you did virtual cinematography, it was you shoot on green screen and you use your motion control cameras and you hope for the best. And then in post, the director will sit there really nervous thinking, oh, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no control over this. I have to let the technicians do it. Now we're giving that control back in the director's hand and say, pick it up, move around the virtual world. You know, Avatar did that. You know, if you watch the behind the scenes of Avatar, you know, James Cameron is literally directing every single scene. It's not being animated. The camera's not being animated, which means that when he walks off the set, even though it's blue everywhere, he's framed it exactly like that. Jungle Book's another classic. Now, the new Jungle Book.
Jungle Book's madness because that kid is acting, first of all, kudos to him.
Amazing,
he's acting
right?
with nothing.
Nothing, yep. Yeah.
That's right.
And exactly. Then about half an hour into the movie, I remind myself that animals can't actually talk because it's that good.
Rise of the Apes did that to me. That exact thing what you just said there. When I watched Rise of the Apes, I forgot Caesar was CG. I just believed it was a character because it's all in the eyes and the emotion. And that's performance capture technology. But it's not just the technology. We're forgetting. A lot of people tend to forget. They think, oh, because our technology has got really good, our films are getting better. It's still down to performance. Andy Serkis's performance is what drives Caesar, right? yes, we have the technology to make it look good, to make it happen on screen, but it all boils down to actors. I always get this whenever I'm VFX supervising a show. I always get this from actors going, are we going to be replaced at some point? And the answer is no. You can't get them replaced. Just because we have better technology, we always need talent. It's like with any movie. No matter how amazing the visual effects is, you still root for the character. You don't root for the explosion. You don't root for the VFX.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very quickly, before I let you guys go, I'm curious about the role that visual effects plays in storytelling, both in cinema and television. And I think I want people to look beyond the fact that it's just window dressing.
I'll give an example. Of the movie that I've seen for the last few years, I think the one that comes to mind is Life of Pi. I know I've been telling these people and people have been hearing this so much of this, but Life of Pi couldn't have been done at all without visual effects.
Couldn't have been made 10 years ago.
It couldn't have been made 10 years ago. Yeah, exactly. But again, you're putting a boy and a tiger in the same boat. You know, it's a matter of time that the boy gets eaten up and all that. But without visual effects, that movie couldn't have been made. As simple as that. So that's a very typical movie that was you have to use visual effects.
I think for me, it's Gravity. When I saw Gravity, to me, it probably in my time, it's going to be the closest I'll ever be to being an astronaut or being in space. I saw that on IMAX and I chose the best seat in IMAX. I literally thought I was in space. And again, just like Hudson said about Life of Pi, the whole way of making that movie, there was no way we could have made that movie. And the fact we got long takes, one single camera moving around, and the emotion from Sandra Bullock's face, and the fact that we go into the helmet and out of the helmet, and everything looks photorealistic. They even got the gravity right, you know, in terms of the way the gravity of the movement.
The reflections in the helmet.
Reflections, exactly. And the fact that they made it as close to NASA. Now imagine if we didn't have virtual cinematography and we did this the most traditional way, which is in a big massive green screen maybe, with models of ISS, space station, miniatures and then comped. It would be extremely hard to control. Like Alfonso Cuarón, probably the most luckiest director, I reckon, because he got to control every single element in that movie, right down to the rivets on each of the tools, right down to the, you know, that movie, like I would say 98% of it is CG. The only thing that's real is Sandra Bullock's face. The whole suit is CG because Alfonso Cuarón wanted to make sure the suit react correctly. And again, visual effects is the key component. So, I mean, look, to top this off, I would say visual effects isn't part of the post-production process anymore. It is the integral to filmmaking. It is the filmmaking process, not post.
Just to add to that, this move by people like J.J. Abrams and the lot to practical effects, going back to actual models on set, is that something exciting?
Absolutely exciting. Absolutely. Because you say we're going back. Yes, we're going back to miniatures, but we're not really going back to the old school because we're still using computers to stitch it together.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, when you see the making of footage of The Force Awakens, it's miniatures being augmented by everything else. Yeah.
Correct. But it's exciting because, you know, the audiences now are getting much more intelligent. I remember when I went to watch a movie, I can't remember what it was, but it was like in the cinema and there's a 10-year-old kid sitting next to me, right? And I swear, this kid was like, oh, the effects don't look as good as the Avengers. Oh, look at the green screen. I'm like, wow, I have to up my game here. This is a 10-year-old picking out visual effects. So it's showing that the audience now are able to pick out. And, you know, you read reviews in loads of magazines goes, oh, you know, gorgeous looking CGI. You know, putting that in a review. You know, if I was a filmmaker, I'd be very distraught about that. So now they know that the audience are getting smart. And they know there's only so much you can do with CGI before it starts looking like, you know, a cartoon or something. Unless it's stylized, unless it serves the story like Pandora in Avatar, you have to do the CGI and you accept it. So going back to miniatures, that creates the texture. It creates the realism. You know, CGI can only go so far. Whereas when you're dealing with something like Star Wars, where everything feels very textured, and obviously there's a nostalgic thing, but there's nothing that beats being on set for the actors to be able to see something and touch something that's real. I think that's what's exciting for miniatures.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. Tell us real quick where people can find some of your work. Hussein?
My training center is at www.visualeffectstraining.my. So contact us and try and find out whether we can upskill you and give you more training.
How's?
Simply just go to my website, hazfilm.com. And on there, you'll see my Vimeo page and you'll see all my films on there.
Fantastic. I've been speaking to visual effects gurus Hussein Khan and Hasraf Dalal. And speaking of special effects, be sure to check out our review of Captain America Civil War, where Gavin Yap, Ian McNally, and I kind of gush for a little while. You can find the podcast on bfm.my/movies. You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.